With us right now as well from Nashville, Tennessee, is Mary Ewells. She's a children's book illustrator and an on-point listener. And in fact, today's show we're doing because Mary proposed it online at our website, onpointradio.org. She went to our On-Point Listens page. And as part of our 2017 National Listening Tour, she stepped right up to the app there where you can give us ideas for local stories you think might make good programs. You can check it out at onpointradio.org. Mary Ewells, thanks so much for your suggestion that we look at this. Thanks for joining us today from Nashville.
Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you for having me.
What got you interested in this, interested enough to say, hey, On Point, you ought to look at this?
Well, a couple of years ago in Nashville, there was a skirmish between an ordinance that was voted on by the city that would have allowed us to continue keeping guns out of city parks. And the state legislator got involved, and they created legislation that overrode that ban. But it was very narrowly defined, where it would have only applied to Nashville and Memphis. And there was just a lot of disagreement locally about it. And the way I looked at it was, we as the citizens of Davidson County, Nashville, Tennessee, we pay for those city parks. And, you know, if we pay for it, why don't we get to say what happens in our parks? As opposed to it being, you know, being sort of pushed by a legislator from outside the county, maybe even not anywhere near Nashville. And then I've noticed it more recently. There was a decision made by our school board that they decided to delay the decision on charter schools because they expected that if they went ahead with the vote that the state would get involved. So I've just began to notice it more and more that the local control might back off because of interference from the state.
How does it make you feel as a citizen and resident of your, you know, municipality that, you know, your local government with support from local people votes for something and then just to see it overturned by the state government?
Well, it makes me kind of irritated, actually, because, like I said, I'm a resident, a voter, a taxpayer in Nashville, Davidson County, and I feel like if we decide something for our county, we should be able to decide it.
But Mary, you live in Nashville. You know the history here. There was a long time when in the South, for example, you had racial or racist laws that the federal government would come in and overturn, and progressives didn't complain then.
You know, that's a good point, and I've actually thought about that a lot just around this issue. You know, I would actually kind of like to see what would it look like from the other side where I would want a state to step in or a federal government to step in. And I guess in something like that, I would. And actually just this morning I was talking to my husband about it and saying, you know, what would that situation look like? And it would be something like civil rights. But I feel like, you know, particularly going back to the original issue that got me interested in this, it was, yes, the rights of one people to carry a gun, but also the rights of a city to determine what's safe and what's not safe in their city park. So to be honest with you, I realize there's still some gray area there. Mm-hmm. But I still feel like we should have some self-determination.
When your local community said no to guns in city parks, who did you come up against or what? What was on the other side of that state legislative vote?
We're in our state legislature is more Republican than not. Mm-hmm. And while our Nashville representatives are, you know, they were for Nashville's ability to create, you know, our own ordinance. It was just sort of overwhelmingly run over in the state house. I'm not even really sure there was very much pushback. I believe there was a little bit where they said, okay, well, we'll try to water it down somewhere. Maybe the city can come in and decide exactly when and where. But basically, it just created a lot of confusion, and then it just got left alone.
Mary, stand by there in Nashville. And again, we're very grateful to you for raising this at our website, onpointradio.org. And for the listeners who want to go to the On Point Listens page, it's part of our 2017 National Listening Tour. We're paying attention. If you've got stories that you think would be good for us to talk about right here, pound them right in there. You'll see exactly the place to do that. There's a window for it there. David Graham, stand by as well. Michelle Wild Anderson joins us right now from San Francisco. She's a professor of law at Stanford, expertise in state and local government. Michelle Wild Anderson, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom.
You just heard Mary Yule's story out of Nashville. They voted there to keep guns out of the parks, and the state overrode. Is that just the way of the world in America's legal system, Michelle?
Well, I think as you captured so well, sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. And I think what Mary was struggling with is really the heart of this issue, which is how do you have a set of principles that guide you regardless of whether your party is in power at the state level and whether your party is in power locally? How do you have some standards that govern when it's appropriate for a state to be the decision maker and when it should be left to local governments to be different from one another and to work things out locally.
But in terms of raw power, do cities have a leg to stand on finally, Michelle? I mean, or is it the state that really, after the federal, I mean, even the federal government is kind of by the agreement of the states. The states are quite powerful in our system.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Local governments like cities and counties have much less power than people think. Local governments can't act unless they have authority from the state to act. And even when they have that power, states can preempt that local law. So that's what David Graham was capturing, that states can essentially override a local law using preemption and say, you overreached here. We gave you the authority to experiment in this general area, but this category of lawmaking goes too far.
Let's go to Mark in Syracuse, New York. Mark, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if one of your guests could maybe touch on the topic of the reason why cities are bluer than these counties are. And I'm, in my opinion, it has to do with the fact that when you live next to people and you live amongst a lot of people, you learn to get along. It seems like a lot of these state overridden laws are a lot to do with social issues, bathrooms, carrying guns, education, things like that. And I feel that there's a reason cities are cities, and that's because that's where most of the jobs are, most of the housing is. Most of all these people that live together, they learn to get along. So things like seeing a gay couple or a transgender person or a biracial couple even, that's not a big deal to people that live in the cities. And I'm wondering when we're going to stop kowtowing or catering to the people that just haven't, I don't know, I said to the screen earlier, if I can put this more eloquently, but to the rest of the country that just hasn't caught up yet.
Mark, I'm really glad for your call. Hang on there. David Graham, speak to this. I mean, listeners who live in rural areas may say, what do you mean catch up? This is the way we want our society to be, cities included. But Mark looks at it and says, come on, we're making the future here, and take the harness off.
Yeah, I mean, I think the argument for local control is, it's fine if cities and rural areas are in different places because they have different governing systems and they should be able to choose to live the way they want to differently. His point about cities becoming the way they are is interesting, and there are different hypotheses about how we've gotten to where we are. When you go back to the roots of states preempting cities, it goes back to the 19th century and sort of concerns about immigrants and subversive political views taking root in cities. But even now, I mean, today we have what appears to be an accelerated trend. Cities are more and more liberal compared to rural areas, and whether that's because people are moving to cities and becoming liberal or because people are liberal and therefore moving to cities, there seems to be a sort of complex interplay between those things. But it does appear to be accelerating.
Mel in Versailles, Missouri. Mel, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hey, just a couple of comments. I'm maybe out of the mainstream here because I'm rural. On a farm in Central Missouri.
I love it.
But I love listening to your program and really appreciate that. And I believe in diversity of input. So listening to that is not naturally what I'm listening to your show, not naturally my politics, but I really appreciate your work. My comment is that cities sometimes act as if they live in a vacuum, and going back to the city state that every duchy and every dukedom can write their own laws and have their own rules about how citizens are governed. But that, it really is living in a vacuum. For one thing, they're not the rest of the country. I mean, we saw from this past election, at least half the people don't agree with some policies and want to change.
Yep.
And so I think really a lot of your speakers and the people who called in have touched on the fundamental question of representative democracy, which is we don't act as independent agents, but our society has tended to make us all feel like we're independent. We don't need each other as much for advice now that we have YouTube and Google as we did before. So we tend in some ways to think of ourselves as independent agents. And that's not representative democracy, and that's not really who we are as a country.
Mel, I totally understand your point. I really do. And yet, think with us here. If you've got millions and millions of people in cities who want their community, their society to evolve in a certain direction, and are reined in by people who live elsewhere but don't like that direction, doesn't that feel odd at the same time, Mel? Or am I wrong?
Well, it doesn't feel as odd as if they were really independent, but we still have a lot of the country and a lot of the economic activity. And I really feel a great condescension coming from some of the speakers, especially the guy that wrote the article in the paper about, well, it's just the people that are jealous of all the money in the cities. I can differ from opinions about people that live in cities without being jealous. I mean, that's a condescension. And then some of the speakers have also said,
yep,
look, we got the money. We got to make the rules. Come on. Where's the talk for the little guy that I hear so much about? You know, if we are all citizens and we all have input, then we need to respect that. It's not a given that one point of view is better than another.
Mel, hold that thought. Stick right there in Missouri. Mary Ewells in Nashville, Tennessee, what do you say to fellow citizen Mel who says, come on, you're not an independent dukedom or duchy. We're part of one big democracy, and give us a break.
Well, I understand that, and for the record, I actually grew up in a small town in a small rural community, so I feel like I've sort of seen both sides. And I do agree that maybe for some, you know, some very large issues, we do need to think of it, you know, more as we're all kind of in this together. But just going back to, you know, my specific situation that started my concern about this is, you know, we aren't going out to Bucksmart, Tennessee, and asking them to pay for our parks. We are paying for that out of our local option, off of our sales tax. So, you know, I don't really think that the citizens of Bucksmart should be, you know, responsible for our city parks. It's up to Nashville to be responsible for our city parks. So at some point, I don't want to say, you know, no, it's our city, we can do it our way. I don't want to continue the divide of, you know, we're over here and you're over there. But at some level, there has to be some recognition that, you know, yes, we decided this, we fund it, we take care of it. We're not trying to decide this for all city parks. We just wanted to decide this for our Davidson County City Park.
Mel, what do you say? Mary pays for that park with her neighbors, they take care of it, and they don't want guns in it.
Well, there's two issues, really, to me. One is that just because you pay for it doesn't mean you should be able to do it if it's outside of the law of the land. And so we do have to make some distinction between what's available and suitable for all the citizens of the country to make a decision about and what shouldn't be local control. I mean, that's our form of government. And courts and legislatures do get a role and input in that. So, I mean, I'd say to Mary that you are right that at some level you need to be able to decide how you're going to do it. But I think the sanctuary city is a big deal about who sets federal policy about immigration. And I really have great hopes, and I've wanted immigration policy to be set properly for the last 30 years, ever since it's been talked about. I really hope it becomes such a mess right now that we have to make a decision in the legislature. It's a perfect opportunity for the legislatures. You've got people on one side that want everybody to come in, people on the other side that wants nobody to come in. So perfect opportunity for the legislature, for the Congress to really act, and President Trump to really act and set policy so we can quit fighting about this and be fair to people.
Mel, we've got it. I'm coming up on a break here, so forgive me. I'm going to have to let you go. Mel in Versailles, Missouri, but I really appreciate your call. Call again. Michelle Wilde Anderson, here we are. I mean, that's sort of the classic confrontation there between city and country, and both seem to have some reasonable points, Michelle.
They do. And but I think it was so, that exchange highlighted so well that cities and rural areas are in this joint democracy under the state, and they both have needs from the state. And I think Mel put that really well. The democratic law of the land at the state level is really important. But Mary really captured that sometimes cities and rural areas are really different. So one good example of that that's driven a lot of this red state, blue city conflict is the cost of living. So the cost of living is really high in cities, and that's in some cities, and that's driven some of these minimum wage protections.
Mary Ewells, I'm going to say goodbye to you at this point, but we're very, very grateful to you for raising this really interesting subject. You raised it at our website in the On Point Listens page there, part of the listening tour that we're up to this year. Mary in Nashville, thanks a lot, and good luck there. Keep listening.
Thank you. Thank you so much.